listening to Agriculture Today. Glad to have you back. Our guest is just back from a trip overseas where he was an active participant in what's called the European Conference on Precision Agriculture. Once more, we visit with precision agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension, Terry Griffin. And Terry, we wanted to have you come in to share a few reflections on this trip to Scotland for this meeting, for a great deal of contemporary discussion on precision agriculture took place at this, right?
There was a lot of good discussion. A lot of people had nearly 500 registrants at this conference. The opening sessions were standing room only. We actually had overflow rooms where they had video monitors of the opening speeches. So, yeah, I had lots of really good discussion.
This has been around for some 20 years, you say. It takes place every other year, but it's become a prominent exchange of information on precision ag?
It's very prominent. So there's several of these conferences globally. And for instance, the International Conference on Precision Ag is held in the even number years in North America. The next one will be in Montreal next year. It was in St. Louis last year. The European Conference comes in the odd number years in between, and it floats around Europe. Then last week it was in Scotland. And this was the 20th year, so this was the 10th conference. So it's been around for a little while.
And mostly comprised of researchers and other allied interests?
We have a trade show for the industry folks. We have a lot of folks come in from the companies who do network and interact. The presentations, we had 140 paper presentations from mostly researchers and academics, universities, and it was very well accepted.
Before we talk about what you consider the prime takeaways from this conference, you and your colleagues from here at K-State were recognized for one of those papers presented, Terry. So we want to give kudos on that.
Oh, thanks, Eric. Yeah, it was quite an honor and very unexpected. The way it worked, there was 500 abstracts were submitted, and the conference had a cull or weeding out of those, and then they invited 240 papers, full-length papers. Out of those, only 140 were accepted for presentation. Our paper, who was co-authored by our Ignacio Cimapetti, A.J. Sharda, Jason Bergtoad, in my department, as well as Noah Miller, who's also in our department as a grad student, we reported some of the KFMA data that we've talked about on your show before. Mm-hmm. Each session, the moderator selected the best paper for the session, and then they got together with the organizers of the conference and selected the best paper for the conference. Well, at the ending ceremony, they announced that our paper was selected as best paper, I was pleased and a little shocked, actually.
Yeah, well, congratulations. And the topic, once again, was something that we shared an interview on here not too long ago on bundling of technology within a farming operation.
Right. How do farmers adopt technology? Is it piecewise or is it in bundles? And what bundles lead to success, or at least leads to continued use of the technology.
Well, very good recognition. What do you consider the most interesting things that emerged from this conference and things that might have relevance here in Kansas in as far as adopting or utilizing precision agriculture technology?
Well, one of the things that caught my attention, I think it's worth mentioning drones and UAVs. So the conference booklet had a UAV on the cover, like most technology conferences do right now. But all of the UAV topics were saved to the one session on the last day, which was kind of refreshing. They weren't just everywhere. Maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, UAVs would have been everybody's hot topic.
They were the buzz, pardon expression.
It was a buzz. And you know, my question was, you know, has the bubble burst? Because it received a lot less attention from the tech community than I thought it would. In its place, satellite imagery was very strong as a topic from researchers in industry, and in particular Sentinel, which is a free European data that, it's what a lot of researchers here in the United States use because it's easily accessible. There's zero cost to acquire the imagery. So that was one of my takeaways, was the less prevalence on UAVs compared to satellites.
Mm-hmm. And you think more application of satellite imagery is in the offing here because of what you saw?
Well, you know, as a researcher, we're putting a lot of effort into how do we make in-season use of imagery. You know, the fact is imagery has been around for decades and we're still not making use of it in production situations, but we're getting closer. Progress has been made on how do we make use of these technologies in season, but it's not going to be commonplace in 2017 for all farms.
It's for down the road some.
Down the road a little bit. Yeah.
What else caught your attention?
Robotics, in particular for dairy production, is going to be a huge thing. And you know, farmers are in high-tech, developed nations are adopting robotics. I think that's going to be a big thing. And some of the ag attorneys I work with said, you know what, we need to start working on liability of robotics. We need to start working on insurance with robotics. And I think they're right because it's going to be something that's going to be here, in particular for livestock production.
Anything specifically on crop input application, for instance, anything new, or has that hit its plateau, if you will?
Well, variable rate is always a hot topic, and we know that we need to spend more time to understand the yield response to applied inputs. In 2 weeks, the Nitrogen Use Efficiency Conference will be held at Louisiana State University, and several of us from K-State will be there. We'll be there presenting our research on that.
So this was a beneficial and a fruitful gathering, it sounds, Terry, and finding out what is on the minds of your peers around the world in as far as technologies for the future.
It was a very, very good conference and something I look forward to. Hopefully in 2 years I'll be able to attend. It's going to be in France, on the south of France.
Very good. The Risk and Profit Conference at K-State is coming up just a little less than a month from now here on the campus, and you will likely have a session at some point within that program on precision agricultural economics, will you not?
I will. So I'll give up an update on the KFMA study on the adoption and profitability of precision ag. And I usually use Risk and Profit as when I debut some of the newest research that has never been read or seen or heard from the public before. So, you know, if you're interested in being the first to know what we find, then Risk and Profit is the place to be.
You are looking at automated guidance systems and relating that to something that has been all too prominent in crop production in recent years, the advent of herbicide-resistant weeds and dealing with those. What's the angle you're working here?
So, you know, we've been using automated guidance for tillage practices for ever since they were commercialized, you know, what, 15, almost 20 years ago. And we started asking the question, you know, farmers who are not using conventional tillage, under what conditions would they consider using mechanical weed control, a row cultivator? And in particular, we framed this in terms of herbicide-resistant weeds. And so the idea was we would use GPS guidance for the row cultivator and increasing the speed as fast in increments of 1 mile an hour from 5 to 9 miles an hour, which is kind of a standard speed to speed that's sort of considered almost too fast for row cultivation. But with the right GPS signals, we can do a separate banded spray with the boom sprayer. Right? And we were looking at how much would herbicides have to cost for us to be willing to do this. And when we found out with when the speed of the row cultivator is sufficiently high, the cost of the herbicide doesn't have to be that high. It can be, you know, in the relative range of corn herbicides we're using today. You know, more expensive than glyphosate, but you know, less expensive than some of the more costly per acre products. And you know, we started working on this quite a while ago, using hoe farm models, and it was kind of considered futuristic because people were saying, "Well, how do you control for boom height?" Well, you know, we were here earlier with Sharda. You know, AJ Sharda has a fact sheet on automated boom height control now. So, you know, the technologies have kind of caught up with this idea. And unless you've been living under a rock, you've seen some of the herbicide issues in the last several weeks, especially in the Mid-South. And I think this paper, which was recently accepted for publication, kind of gives us some insights into, you know, how farmers will make some rational decisions to control weeds.
But the general gist of this is that from the economic vantage point, there may well be justification for returning to cultivation with the technology at hand.
Yeah, it may be worth checking out the old fence rows. I mean, you have a cultivator, and it's been said that there is no resistance to iron.
Right. That's a fact. And you'll likely be willing to talk this up with anybody who'd like to know more at Risk and Profit likewise?
Sure thing. I'll be at Risk and Profit both days, and I look forward to all the hallway conversations we may have.
Good cause to be at Risk and Profit to take that and many of the other workshops in likewise coming up the 17th and 18th of August here on the K-State campus. Well, thanks for coming over for a brief few moments and sharing a few reflections on your recent trip to Scotland and to this major conference on precision agricultural developments. We always appreciate your time, Terry.
Thank you, Eric.
He is a precision agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension, Terry Griffin. Once more, he, as well as K-State weed scientist Anita Dilley and others, attended the European Conference on Precision Agriculture this past week in Edinburgh, Scotland. You're listening to Agriculture Today. We'll step aside now and be back after a few moments with more here on this, the K-State Radio Network.